everyone a few minutes ago, I failed to mention that our daughter, Kim, and Aubrey, and Jameson is here from Minnesota. I apologize, Kim. Didn't mean to overlook you. I didn't, but just didn't dawn on me at that time. So, but it's been a joy to have them here since Wednesday, and we'll be here through Saturday of this coming week. So it's been a joy to be able to spoil Jameson and Aubrey as much as we can while they're here, and just enjoying their presence with us. Don't get to see them very often, but it's always good to cherish those times together. In your bulletin this morning, you see a title there, Our Worship Given to God, Greater Works to Come, John 14, 12, 16. Lord has directed me in another direction this morning, other than that one. He does that sometimes. And so this morning, I want us to focus on giving thanks in every circumstance, using 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 and 18. When I think about the Apostle Paul, you know, he, in his early life, was kind of like a renegade, wasn't he? He went about doing some things he knew he should, what he thought was right, but when the Lord stopped him on the road to Damascus and got his attention, he changed his whole mindset. And even though some of the things that Paul went through in life, he says right here in this passage of Scripture. And believe me, the things that Paul went through in his life when he was here on earth, ministering the things of the gospel to people and on behalf of his Savior and our Savior, Jesus Christ, he went through a lot. More than probably we will in our lifetime. Just in a short time, he experienced grief, hardship, suffering. But he says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting with verse 16, rejoice always. Rejoice always. And sometimes it is hard to do, isn't it? It is hard to rejoice always. But in spite of the things in Paul's life, that's what he says. Rejoice always. Because he wasn't looking on the earthly things in this life or on the hardships and the sufferings and afflictions. But he was looking on what he had in Christ Jesus when the Lord changed his life for the better, for the good. And he passed that on from that point on. And then in verse 17, he says, pray without ceasing. There's three things here in verse 16, 17, and 18. Each verse has a different part he tells us to do. And this is what he practiced. And it worked for him. If it worked for Paul, it'll work for us, won't it? It'll work for us. Verse 16 again, rejoice always. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. And then in verse 18, he says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So he was looking on the side of the glory of God in his life, and without that, he would not have been able to say that. But knowing that his life was surrounded and secure in Christ Jesus, he was able to say that. And to define hardship and suffering, it is defined like this: to experience adverse effects of something unpleasant, to feel pain, grief, and discomfort. Someone asked C.S. Lewis, who was a novelist, he was a poet, he was a writer, well known. He He passed away in 1963. He was born in 1898, so he only lived a short time here on this earth. But the impact that he made and the writings he had still are used today. And quote it, and this is what he told someone who asked him this question: why do the righteous suffer? And this is what he said: why not? Why not? They're the only ones who can take it. When you look at it that way, I would not want to go through this life without knowing Jesus Christ, that he's on my side and he's going to see us through anything that we are confronted with. He will be there for us to lift us up. And one of the greatest privileges of being a Christian is to have the capacity to give thanks regardless of what happens in our life. You know, it's easy to be thankful when things are going our way. But a Christian can rise above any situation to thank God for causing all things to work together for the good. And the Apostle Paul was a man who suffered a great deal of pain, and yet he wrote in these three verses, "Be joyful always, pray continually," or as the KJV says, "pray without ceasing, and then give thanks in all circumstances," because, he said, let me put the final touches on it, because it's God's will in Christ Jesus. We don't have to read very far in the Gospels or even in the Law and the Prophets that Jesus Christ himself came to this earth specifically to suffer for the cause of the world, the sins of the world. Now, I want us to look at some secrets, but he revealed these secrets, Paul did, for us, and he followed his own advice. First of all, Paul put his emotional, his mental, his spiritual focus on the good things that he had in Christ Jesus, and that's why Paul was able to say that in verse 18, "For this is God's will for you." This is the best for you. This is the best for each and every one of us who are in Christ Jesus. Now, it would have been easy for Paul to feel sorry for himself. The Jews sought to put him to death. The Jews, you know, were his own people. And yet they tried to put him to death. The Roman hunted him down like a dog and imprisoned him with chains. He was in a dungeon, cold, smelly dungeon. That's where they put him. Even his best friends deserted him, yet he gave thanks for every situation because he knew that God is in control of whatever that would happen to him. And that's why he wrote in Philippians, one of his other books of the New Testament, he wrote, there's 27 books in the New Testament, and he wrote 13 of those. And then in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, he says, "For me to live is Christ." And then what's the other part of that? "To die is gain." Because that is God's will in my life through Christ Jesus, that for me to live while I'm here on this earth, to live for Christ. And yet after that, to die, I'm gaining something much better. That's what Paul is saying. Something more than I can comprehend. More than I can even pass on to you. When he's talking about going to the third heaven. First heaven would be here on earth, and then the heavens in the skies, and then beyond, which we don't know where heaven is, but we know it's out there somewhere. And he was talking about the third heaven where Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Then it, then we know that Paul died to his own selfish interests, because a great apostle wrote in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You know, that is one of the most precious benefits of a believer, that Christ, who loved us, gave himself for us. See, Paul, he knew that many of his former pleasures were actually self-destructive vices in his life. But once he was forgiven of all of that, all of the things in his life, then he knew he was in safe keeping with the Father. Then Paul allowed every circumstance to teach him more about Christ and his will. And the church planting apostle, you know, he planted churches. You know, God set the course in his life. God placed him here for a purpose, just like he does each one of us. So he, one of his purposes here on earth, as he told Ananias, you know, "I'm going to use Paul. He's going to suffer a lot for me." And Paul knew one of those things was to plant churches, because he went about crucifying the churches, the Christians and so forth. And then when God changed his mind, then he became a church planter. I like church planting. You know, I've been involved in that since 2000, working in the state of Indiana, Northern Kentucky with that. Setting churches as the pinnacle or the cornerstone, as the Bible teaches us, so that people who are not connected to the church somehow, and that's why he went to city, Ephesus, Philippi, and all of these churches, Antioch, to plant churches so that people would know who Christ is and how they could serve him. And that's what Paul did. He served the Lord Jesus Christ with his life. See, Paul knew that many of his former pleasures were was actually self-destructive vices. And then Paul allowed every circumstance to teach him more about Christ and his will. See, the church planting apostle, he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, "Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." See, every encounter can either make us bitter or make us better. And for Paul, it made him better. That's why he said, I'll stoop down to the weak. I'll do whatever it takes to reach people for the cause of Christ. He didn't consider himself above anyone. He considered himself on the same level. And that's why he said, "I'll even get down to the weakest level of any person that I might gain them and reach them for Christ." And then Paul saw every problem as an opportunity to advance God's kingdom and righteousness. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, and I love this verse. I read it quite often. It says, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in death." Now, he didn't say, I'm ready, you know, to die at this moment or die like Christ, but he says, "I want to experience and be able to respond and understand what Christ went through so that I can be a better witness for those who I encounter, those I witness to." And he said, "Christ died for me, and I want to know him not only as my Savior, but my Lord, because he gave his all for me." And then Paul thanked God for everything, because in 2 Timothy 1:12, he said, "He knew whom he believed and was persuaded that he could keep everything that had been entrusted to him." And he said that same thing to Timothy. He said, "Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you." He said, I guard it with my life. And he did, didn't he? He didn't care. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power that saves people's lives. See, the great writer, the Paul, of many New Testament epistles, the 13, knew that whatever he had done for Jesus would be kept securely as a reward waiting for him in heaven. And you see, only the Lord is able to make a promise and guarantee it completely. And Paul knew that. And he passes that on to us. See, Paul thanked God in every situation. That's why he says, in everything give thanks. Everything. From the hardships to the greatest of victories, he said, give thanks. Because he knew that God could use it to bring greater maturity, more wisdom, and he could be more useful for the Lord. See, the pace-setting apostle taught that every hardship can become a catalyst for developing great godly character, wisdom, and holiness. We always like to be on top of the mountain, don't we? We like it up there. The air is good. We can breathe better. We can think better. And sometimes we're in the valley, like as Paul would say, it is more difficult to comprehend. But God, he says, give thanks. Pray without ceasing. And then Paul thank God for every trial. You know, it's hard to think about, you know, giving thanks for trials and sufferings and afflictions in our life. But Paul, he thanked God for every trial because he knew it would result in a greater witness for Jesus Christ. You know, we often read about the thorn in the flesh that Paul had. And he prayed that, you know, the Lord would take it away from him. He, Lord, I can serve you much better. I can do greater things if you take this thorn in the flesh, whatever it might be. It might have been a physical thing. It could have been something that was in the church or someone he knew or some obstacle in his way. And he said, Lord, please remove this from me and I'll be a better servant for you. The Lord said, no, you'll be a better servant for me if I leave it there. That way you're depending more upon me and not yourself. And you see, through suffering, through affliction, sometimes we are able to depend upon God, our Savior Jesus Christ, because we know that we're not alone in all of that. See, Paul, he sang songs of thanksgiving and praise to God in the prison, and found joy. The overflowing joy expressed in Paul's songs led others to Christ, allowed prisoners to go free. You know, when him and Silas were singing in the prison, you know, the gates spread wide open, and they was free to go, but they stayed there and was witnesses to the jailer and won them to the Lord. Listen to what Paul says in Acts 16:25. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Now, someone in prison normally is either bitter or mad or something. They're not happy. They're not rejoicing. They're not singing. But here, Paul and Silas were. And it says, other prisoners were listening to them. What a good witness to hear other people say, well, they're in the cell next to us, or they're in the same boat as we are, and here they're rejoicing. What are they rejoicing for? Because they had a friend in Jesus. They knew him as their Savior and Lord. And in Romans 5:3, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, that's Paul saying, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Sometimes it's hard for us as Christians, even Christians, to comprehend what Paul is saying and what the Bible talks about that. Because, but, you know, the Lord, he himself, he suffered. And Paul said, if I can just identify with that, it gives me a different perspective on life itself, that this is only temporal. It's only temporal. No matter how old we are, how young we are, this life is temporal. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, it says, that is why, for Christ's sake, that I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am made strong. In Colossians 1:24, Paul again says, I now rejoice in what I suffered for you. He's talking about the church. He said, I did this for you, church, because I know where you are. I have been there. I've been down that road. And now I suffer for you, and I rejoice because I know it is the will of the Father. And he says, and in Colossians 1:24 says, and fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, which is the church. He said, I gladly do that for the Lord because I know it is his church. And then Paul rejoiced in the Lord. His thankfulness was not conditioned on any circumstances. He gave great praise to God because of his wonderful attributes, his works, and words. See, Paul knew all eternity would not be enough time to thank God for who he is. The great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Paul wrote, in everything, rejoice always. Praise without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. It is the will. And every one of us wants to be in the will of the Father. But it takes us to synchronizing our heart and our mind in such a way that we are yielding our whole self to the Lord. And I want to close with this. A famous evangelist, he told the following incident. He says, I have a friend who, in time of business recession, lost his job, sizable fortune, his beautiful home. To add to his sorrow, his precious wife. Yet, persistently, he held to his faith. The only thing that he had left was his faith. And then one day when he was out walking in search of employment, he stopped to watch some men who were doing some stonework on a large church. And one of them was chiseling a triangle in a piece of rock. Where are you going to put that? The man asked the laborer. He said, the workman said, do you see that little opening up there near the spear? Well, I'm shaping this stone down here so it will fit up there. Tears filled his eyes. He walked away, for the Lord had spoken through him, through that laborer, the words that gave meaning to his troubled heart. See, God is shaping us to fit in when we get to heaven. Those areas that in our life that God is shaping us, it may be our faith, it may be a whole lot of things for service, but he's shaping our lives here that we will fit in a particular place. See, God has put us here to serve, to love, to fellowship, in his name. And you know, as I think about Winnie, he shaped her life, and she helped shape ours, didn't she? She really did. She helped shape me. She worked hard on it. I know she worked on Bill, too. She worked on all of us. She loved it. She loved life itself. And I mean, you can just see her footprint steps all over this church, outside, no matter where she goes. You can see where Wimma had been, because she made a difference in people's life. Made a different impact on me. I will never forget her. All the things she has done. And you know, I say that this morning because we all are dealing with the pain of death. But you know, the sting of death, we have the victory in Christ Jesus because he won it for us. He won it for us. Tells us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And if we're still here on this earth one of these days, the Bible says in the twinkling of an eye, the Lord will appear, the trumpet will sound. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, he says, one of these days, you know, when the Lord appears, the dead in Christ will rise first, and those who are alive and remain, which would be us if we're still here, will be called up to be with the Lord. And then there will be a series of events take place after that. But until then, the Lord is shaping us for the good. He has placed us here just like he did Wilma. And Barry Smalls, and all of those who have gone on before us. And I can think of many people in my own life, my own family, that impacted our life. So, we are to be faithful to those who are following us, so that when we are all shaped and chiseled out, we're going to fit in there perfectly. Because in heaven, it's going to be perfect, right? Here on earth, it's not perfect. And that's why the Lord is still shaping our lives and mending us and lifting us up. And sometimes we're weak, sometimes we're strong. But we're always strong in the Lord. We might be weak in the body, but we're strong in the Spirit because the Spirit of God lives in us. That's a promise that we can claim, each one of us. Everything that happens in life, we give God the glory because he's going to turn it into something great. Amen? Something great. Let us pray. Our Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. And Lord, we want the scriptures to speak. It's not us, but it's your Holy Spirit that speaks through vessels, through us, through pastors, through teachers, through each one of us as Christians. And Lord, you choose to bring out the best in every one of us when we allow ourselves to be yielded and surrendered to you. Lord, mend our hearts this morning. Give us the peace that passes all understanding as you tell us, because we do know your Son, Jesus Christ. Told the disciples, peace I give you, peace I leave you, because I'm going to be with the Father. But I will send the Holy Spirit, and he will teach you all things. He will comfort you. He will teach you and guide you in all ways. Lord, help us to understand, Lord, that we are, as Paul says, pray without ceasing, rejoice always, and give thanks for all things. And we give you thanks for the period of times that we know dear loved ones like Wilma and Barry and others, Lord, that you called home. And Lord, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. who suffered much more than we can ever comprehend because of love. Lord, bless this invitation, Lord. Use it for your honor and glory. Let your will be done in each one of our lives in making decisions for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hymn number 91.